guys, what's up? So, Dust is settled and Hongbin is back on Twitch doing his thing, and I am so happy for that. I'm happy he's doing what he loves to do. I know a lot of people were, quote unquote, disappointed on how he handled things, and I'm gonna get into that in a second. Like, first and foremost, I just want to, like, put this out there. I want him to be happy. With or without Vix. If he's with Vix and happy, I'm happy. If he's not with Vix and happy, I'm still happy. And I'm still going to support him. And I think if you like him, if you've ever liked him, you know that he's been kind of unhappy for a minute right now. And he wanted to just play his video game, just live his life. But we've also got information from him that he's enlisting next week, I think. So that's sad. And I want to do this before I get into the rant. I want to wish Hongbin a safe enlistment. I hope he is going to be okay. And we'll be here when he gets back. That being said, now we get to the other part. To all those people out there who are saying that they were upset because Hongbin didn't handle the situation they wanted, the way they wanted him to, you could just, like, leave. I am tired of this. Like, I get so sick of hearing about how people are offended about every little thing. The offense level in K-pop is ridiculous. People who feel like they're entitled to how idols handle things. If Hongbin didn't want to talk about it the way you wanted him to, that's on you. He's going to talk about the way he wants to handle it. And to be honest, Hongbin's always been kind of a private person. He has, like, an attitude streak, and not in a bad way. I'm not saying he has a bad attitude. I mean, he has a sassy personality, so therefore he does things and says things the way sounds proper to him. He's never been the kind of person who's just like, I'll do this the way other people want me to. He's always been very independent and very headstrong. And that's one of the things you love about Hongbin. You don't want him to be a pushover. So why do people think he's a pushover? Why do people think that they're going to attack him and bring it up and then think he's going to cave and do things the way he wants? He explained point blank. He did not want to post about it in the fan cafe. And if you followed Hongbin long enough, you know Hongbin is not big on social media. He's never been big on social media. The biggest he is on social media is his Twitch channel. So he did the one thing that he knew most people watched. Most of us who are fans of Vix pop in on Hongbin's Twitch every once in a while. Whether you watch it a lot like me or, you know, other people, or you just go over there and want, like, to just check it out. He will always be on Twitch. That is his thing. That is his relaxation. That's where he makes his extra money. That's what Hongbin does. And the fact that he chose his biggest platform to talk about it was smart to me. Because if he would have popped it over on Twitter, which I don't even think he has a Twitter or Instagram anymore. So he put it on his own social media. Yeah, a lot of idols will write a letter and all that, but not every idol is the same. Not every person thinks the same as everyone else. And for everybody to have this weird mentality that says all idols have to act this way or handle something this way, just like everybody's like, Hongbin should just take time and think about what he did. He didn't do anything wrong. I don't even think he needed to take the time. I think what happened was a bunch of people misinterpreted what he said and blew a gasket, and he had no intention of taking a break. Jellyfish made him take a break, but that was because people were starting to get a little extra about it. It's not his job to cater to what you think he should be doing. If you want to talk about some that you claim he disrespected, then you get a platform and you talk about it. But you can't sit here and ask the man his opinion, and when he gives his opinion, everybody's up in arms. It's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. He was screwed either way. He could have said, nah, I don't want to talk about it, and everybody would have been like, Hongbin's canceled because he doesn't care about his fans. Or he could have talked about it and been honest. And then he's an asshole because he talked shit about Shiny, which he didn't do. He said a cover didn't sound proper to him. He just said a cover that is an electronica song, the cover of an electronica dance song in a rock way, didn't sound good to him. And people lost their shit. People were saying he's disrespecting his elders and all that stuff. And I get that in Korea and Japan and China, that younger dynamic is very important. But at the same time, do you not think he knows that? He's from Korea. He's from the idol system. He knows that it's dumb to talk shit about your senior. Hell, Taemin is friends with his ex-bandmate. So you think he would actually have sat there and talked shit about Shiny, knowing that he had a direct link to Taemin? That always baffled me. That people would sit here and think, oh, but he said he didn't like the song. He said he didn't like the cover. He never said he didn't like everybody, because I think that was the song he was listening to. It's been a few months. So, I don't know. Like, it just drives me crazy. It's one of the things about being a K-pop fan that drives me crazy is the fact that fans are so damn entitled. They're entitled to everything an idol thinks. It's just, ugh. So, I started watching Umbrella Academy like a few weeks ago. And I don't know, the show's pretty good. I like it. I don't have any real problems with it. Well, I mean, problems you have with any other TV show. But I really like this one. I get the hype behind it. Because before I was like, I'm not watching it. It looks stupid. Like, I thought it was going to be like this melodramatic. It is melodramatic. But I like that. I love that about the show, actually. I love that. It's so dramatic that all of the characters are really dramatic. And I'm not done with season 2 yet. I'm on like episode 5 or 6 of season 2. I think I just started episode 6. It's been fun. It's been like a really fun ride. I haven't been watching a lot of TV. Like, I always say, like, I need to watch like regular shows. And then I'll end up watching like reality TV shows. Because if you grew up like in the early 2000s, that's like all they played a lot of the times. Like, there was like a span in like the early 2000s, the right before the 2010s, where every channel just had an abundance of reality TV shows, which it still does. Like, to this day, there aren't as many scripted dramas as there is like reality shows. And you'll have like a lot that's just find the next chefs here recently. Do we need that many shows? And we had like all of the model shows. You guys remember all of the model shows? Like, you had Top Model, which started it, and then you had like there was Bravo did one. It was Bravo or Logo. It was Bravo probably. And you had Tyson Beckford. He was one of the hosts of it, and they had boys and girls in the same competition, and they didn't expect them to hook up, and like I think two of them hooked up, and we're like, well, what'd you expect? And then you had like the different spin-offs of Top Model, and then RuPaul's Drag Race came out at during this time too, which I love me some RuPaul's Drag Race. If we want to talk about that, we'll go into that another time. But oh man. And then you had all the love shows. Do you remember the love shows? You had like Flavor Love, Rock Love, Daisy Love, Shot at Love with Tila Tequila. You had Real Chance at Love. I saw that on one of the streaming platforms. I just want to watch it for like nostalgia purposes. You just want to like see Real and Chance. And you know, it's really sad because Real ended up passing away a few years back. And I actually really did enjoy, like, I think it was The Stallionaires is what they went by. It was a really fun show, and it was really silly, and they had such weird tastes and stuff, but it made it fun, because they weren't, like, stereotypical type of dudes. They enjoyed their stuff. They obviously had money away from stuff they got from the shows, So it's really cool to see that aspect. And then you had Daisy of Love, which was a spinoff of Rock of Love, and I Love New York. Those two are in the same vein of, like, they're really popular girls on the show, and they got their spinoff. And I don't know, I feel like I want to rewatch this stuff and go over it, because I haven't watched these shows in years at all. Like, I've watched I Love New York and Daisy of Love like a year or two ago when I saw them on, like, Hulu. I feel like I want to rewatch them and just enjoy the cheese, the early 2000s cheese about it, because it was so funny. Like, there's stuff about it you remember. Like, anybody remember, was it Crazy was her name? And she tried to microwave a whole chicken. Oh man, that was hilarious. And then she tried to feed it to Flavor Flav and his mama. Like, there's stuff, like, I haven't watched Flavor of Love in so long, but, like, you remember that stuff. And just, like, when Pumpkin spit on New York and New York almost whooped her ass, that was, like, stuff like that is what you remember from this. Like, nowadays, I don't remember much from reality shows. Like, I watch Love and Hip Hop a lot. I really enjoy those shows. I like watching the Real Housewives series. Mostly, I just watch now, because I used to watch Orange County. I don't watch Orange County as much anymore. But I watch Beverly Hills and I watch Atlanta. Love and Hip Hop. I love Love and Hip Hop still. I watch those. And I watch a lot of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. These are shows that have just stayed with me. Those are the ones that stayed with me. And then, like, you have stuff that came later when I got older. Total Divas, Total Bellas. I love those shows. And I actually want to talk about all this stuff in more detail. Like, I just want to do a whole thing dedicated to the different types of reality shows that I like to watch. And I love watching contest ones. But I really, really, really love watching just day-to-day life. Like, it's like watching a well-scripted, well-documented, well-edited vlog on YouTube to me. Like, whenever I watch Total Bellas and they go on vacation, I'm like, yes, this is my drug. I love watching vacation stuff. I can't ever go to Mexico for fun, but I can watch them go to Mexico for fun. Just like, oh, it's Thursday, let's go to Mexico. And I'm like, hell yeah. I can't do that. I have to plan it and, you know, think about it. But I'd love to watch you guys go. Let me live vicariously through you. And it's same thing with vlogs, I think. I think that's why vlogs got so popular. Is a lot of people watch reality shows. And the vlog is just a reality show took into a more condensed concept. And it's just showing people, like, your life. It's like a less scripted, edited reality show where people just follow you around the camera. Like, I love watching rich people on YouTube vlogs. I do not watch anybody in my own financial demographic, like, a vlog, because I'm like, I do that shit already. I want to see some, I want to, like, watch and enjoy. So if, like, I follow somebody who I know has money and they decide to do a vlog, I'm like, yes, this is what I want. And it's just like, it's like, even like when they have, like, a few vloggers I watch, they had babies, and I was so excited for them. I was like, hell yeah, because it feels like you know them. And it's the same thing, because whenever I watch, like, a reality show, somebody gets pregnant, I'm super happy for them. And I think it's an investment thing. Like, I know people think it's weird or funny or whatever, but you do invest your time and your energy into these shows and stuff like that. Hell, I watched Jersey Shore, and I cared about everybody on that show except for Angelina. But, like, when I heard Snooki got pregnant, I was like, awesome. Or, like, I watched Teen Mom and all that stuff, and I, like, cried watching Teen Mom. It's because the investment level is high on these shows, and I loved it. I love every minute of it. I think some of the stuff is the funnest stuff ever, and I know a lot of people are like, why are you watching that? I'm like, because it is so interesting. I love watching, even if it's scripted, how people react. I ain't never gonna throw a punch or nothing for no reason, but I can watch the girls on Love and Hip Hop have a physical fight over a man. I ain't gonna do that shit, but I love watching it. It is so funny to me. And I know, like, people are like, well, you're the problem. I don't care if I'm the problem. I look for entertainment. I don't always watch TV to be informed or all that. I do watch a lot of documentaries and stuff for that. And I have times where I just watch nothing but documentaries. But when I just want to sit down, clear my head, and watch a bunch of shit go down, I'll throw on a marathon of freaking Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and watch a bunch of rich bitches fight. I don't know. So, I've been playing a lot of, like, Pokemon stuff during this quarantine. Like, quite a few video games a lot. I'm playing a lot of WoW and I'm playing a lot of Pokemon. And primarily WoW. Has anybody else been, like, really excited for Shadowlands? Like, I've read Shadows Rising, and I'm just loving it. I'm doing some of the PTR. I did the starter quest for the beta, and it looks like it's going to be fun. I had no real problems doing the starting quest. They weren't terribly simple, but they weren't, like, oh my god, break the game hard either. I mean, there were some spots where they froze, but that's what you get when you do a beta. Like, that's your job, is to find that stuff. So, that was pretty fun. I don't know, I just like playing stuff to get my mind off of things. And I know one of the easier games for me to get to, because I don't have, like, my subscription for WoW is currently not active. Because I didn't feel like that. I have, like, this weird thing with WoW where I'll play it straight for, like, a few months. And then I'm like, I need a break, and I won't re-up my subscription. So right now I'm in a break phase. I do the beta stuff sometimes, but that's about it. But I've been enjoying it. I actually really enjoyed the lore and stuff that comes from World of Warcraft. Like, if you've ever played it and you don't know the lore, you don't know half of what's going on. That story is very dependent on you knowing the lore. And I get to where I watch really long lore videos sometimes. I could be sitting here reading any book. I don't even have to be reading anything about WoW. I could be writing or playing a video game or just reading whatever, and I'll have a lore video in the background. Like Belular, I like watching his videos, and Noble. They do really good lore type stuff, and they're a really big channel, so if you ever want to find out about Warcraft lore, they're some of the first places to start. Or I'll just watch, like, Machinima Channels. I know he's not a Machinima Channel anymore, but I really enjoy watching Nixium and all that. So, it's really a fun hobby. I didn't think it would be. Like, I started playing Warcraft when I started dating my husband. He played Warcraft, and I started playing so I could spend time with him, and so I know what he's talking about, because he would talk about it a lot, and I never understood what he was talking about. So, Cataclysm came out, I just said, I'll play it, and I started playing, and I played on his account first, and it was really fun. I had a lot of fun, and granted, I only, like, make two different races, and that's Night Elf or Blood Elf, because I like pretty things, but I really like the orcs, and I like the trolls, and one of my favorite trolls was Vol'jin, and he passed a few games ago. They're all really interesting, cool races, and it's fun to look into them and see what they offer. So, I'm not trying to, like, get a WoW, I'm not trying to sit here and sell you the game, I'm just talking. It's a really good game. I mean, if you could try. If you don't mind the drag of it, it's a really fun game. And yeah, sometimes you get dragged down with doing quests and stuff, and that's fine if you like doing that. I do the same thing when I play any other game. Like when I play Dragon Age, I get bogged down with quests and all that. But there's, like, I'm not one of those who think there's nothing to do in WoW. To me, there's always something to do. I never not have anything to do in WoW, even if it's, like, doing runs for Transmon here, which I do a lot of. Like, I have a hunter, and that hunter's primary thing is to go get me transmog gear and send it to my other characters. And then I have, like, a warlock, and her primary thing is to sew gear. So I'm always doing stuff while I'm playing the game. I'm always flying somewhere. I'm always running quests or something like that. I enjoy playing it. It's a fun game. And granted, I don't
dive into the social aspect of it as much as I should, because it is a social game. But I'm so socially awkward when it comes to talking to people that even in a game, I prefer to just stay by myself. So I'm usually off in a zone by myself. I mean, every once in a while, I'll talk to people. I remember one time I was just running dungeons and raids and stuff, and some people were trying to run these dungeons, and I let them pug with me because I was doing it anyway. So stuff like that. I'll be social. But besides that, I'm usually running off by myself. I'm like, I'm gonna go see if I can do this dungeon. Like, the most I ever did dungeons was I was trying to get my heirloom gear and for Blood Elf, and I literally was just running dungeons after dungeons with my freaking Silver Moon Tabard on, trying to grind rep, essentially. I had to get to Exalted, and I hit so much burnout. Like, it's probably why I haven't played it in a month, is so much freaking dungeon grinding. I was going to, like, every dungeon I knew where it was, once a week, and I was like, I'm tired. I can't play no more. And I just could not. Besides that, I've played a lot of Pokemon during this quarantine. Warcraft and Pokemon, those are the only two games I primarily played this whole quarantine. And this time around, I'm actually really having fun playing Omega Ruby again. It's been a while since I played that one. And it's not even because of the game itself. I mean, I love the game itself. It's one of my favorite. Ruby is one of my favorite games. Hoenn area has some of my favorite Pokemon, has some of my favorite starters. Mudkip being my favorite starter from the Hoenn area, and my favorite starter all around is Cyndaquil. Cyndaquil, Mudkip, and Bulbasaur. Those are my favorite starters. Rowlet is coming up there, because Rowlet was adorable. Anytime I play those areas, I always use the same Pokemon. Like, I keep telling myself this lie that one day I will start up Pokemon Ruby or Crystal or one of the red and blues, and I will not pick Bulbasaur, Cyndaquil, or Mudkip. It's a bold-faced lie. But it's nice to say it every once in a while. Like, you promise yourself you're not gonna pick Cyndaquil for the 50th time as a starter. You're gonna pick Chikorita. You're gonna get you a Meganium for the first time. And then, fuck all that, I want another Typhlosion. I cannot, for the life of me, stray from my stars. I can have a whole different team. I have no problem doing a whole different team. This time I was determined, for the first time I was going to get a Crobat, because normally I don't have the patience to make a Crobat, because you have to have high friendship. And upon some research, I figured out how to do it, and I did it, and I was super excited. But I also decided I'm going to run with a Manectric. And Electrike and Manectric are two of my favorite Pokemon. I don't even know why. I know a lot of people like say they're ugly. I think they're so adorable. Like, the dog Pokemon, the starter dog Pokemon, Poochyena, freaking Zigzagoon, I love them. But like I said, I also have real affinity for the Hoenn region, so it's probably why I like Manectric as much as I do. But I also like Absol. I like the dog Pokemon. I like Growlithe and Arcanine. I love the evolutions, even though we don't know if they're cats or dogs or whatever. They're the whatever they are Pokemon. If they're like four, like, I loved Rockruff and Alola. I love the dog Pokemon, and I still will always pick at least one of them to run with. But this time I chose to run with an Electric. And I actually enjoy it. I'm enjoying it. Manectric is top tier, one of my favorites. I ran with him in this one. I also ran with the Manectric in Sword and Shield. But even though I didn't really need him because I had a Toxtricity. So it's like, you got two electric Pokemon, you don't need two spots for an electric Pokemon. I'm like, but I'm keeping him. So I always run with a bird Pokemon too, and I have never given up Talo. I think I want to run one time where I run with an Altaria. Well, Swablu and an Altaria for that game. But we'll see. We'll see what happens when we get there. 9 times out of 10, I just get Taylo because it's one of the first Pokemon that pops up. And I really do like Taylo and Swallow. Those two are, like, so cute to me. Even, like, other Pokemon. I like a lot of Hoenn Pokemon in general. Latios, Latias. I love Groudon. Like, Groudon is one of my favorite legendaries. It is so powerful. And I like Kyogre. I've never actually played Sapphire. I've only ever played Ruby. So, I've never actually had the luck to use a Kyogre. I didn't play Emerald like that, so I have no affinity for Rayquaza like that. I've always played Ruby. I've always had Groudon. I've always messed with Team Magma. So, I know a bunch of people like, Team Aqua is like the worst. I'm like, I never fought Team Aqua. Team Aqua helped me. I fought with Team Magma. Because, fuck Maxi. But, I actually really enjoy, you know, playing, I also enjoy Pokemon Crystal, because that is actually my first actual Pokemon game that I played all the way through. Beforehand, I played off of my friend's games, but a friend let me borrow Pokemon Crystal, and I played that one all the way through, and that's probably why I have such an attachment to Suicune as I do, and I know a lot of people don't like Suicune like that. But, like, they like Entei more, and I'm like, I like Suicune more. Even the developers like Suicune more. He got a whole game centered around him. But I do like Entei. I like Raikou, too. I think Raikou gets, like, no love. I like Raikou. I think he looks so cute, and he's fuzzy, and I know people like say he's, like, the cowardly lion, but I love him. I love the dogs. Well, the beasts. They're not dogs. They're beasts. And, I mean, Pokemon. I grew up more on the anime. I played the games here and there, but I grew up more on the anime. And I know a lot of people can't stand Pokemon anime because it's so simplistic. And I think that's what makes it so good, because you really don't have to change anything. You don't have to end it, because there's no ending. Even though the tournament's supposed to be the ending. That's the ending of that era, because within Pokemon Johto, there were several seasons, and, you know, the Kanto region is several seasons. It wasn't just one season, technically. Technically, there was, I think, one season, but it's like 50 or 60 episodes. I mean, come on. And then you have, like, the Orange Islands, which was the spinoff, and then you have Johto, which had, like, 2 major seasons with it. I think that's what Pokemon does, is they break it off. They have, like, 60 for one season, 60 for the next, and they all feel like different seasons. It takes 2 years to finish them. But that's kind of the fun part, because you're, like, always wondering, what's going to happen next? Are they going to do the new one? And I still watch the Pokemon animated series every once in a while. I don't watch it as much as I used to. But I watch it a lot more now. I've mostly been rewatching old anime. Like, in Japan, it's called Samurai Troopers, but when we got it here, it was called Ronin Warriors. I've been rewatching that. I've been rewatching GTO. I watch nothing new. I only rewatch anime that I've watched a billion times. I don't really, like, there's something comforting about rewatching an old anime. It's like, it feels like my childhood. Like, I remember the first time I rewatched Awa Star for the first time in, like, X amount of years, because I'm not saying how old I am. It felt like you're going back, because I used to watch anime really late on Toonami. Not even Toonami, Adult Swim at that point. It was still Adult Swim. But Toonami used to turn over to Adult Swim, and you'd get the uncut versions of anime that they showed on Toonami. And you can hear, like, the swear words, you can see the blood, the guns, and all that stuff that they cut out for daytime viewing. And Outlaw Star was one of those shows that they kind of edited for Toonami, but they left it alone for Adult Swim. Same thing with Rurouni Kenshin and Yu Yu Hakusho. I used to watch those on both, so I used to stay up to like 11 o'clock midnight and watch uncut versions of anime. And like falling. I'd like watch the edited version during the day, and then like I'd wait until it's super late, and then I'd watch the newer versions. And I'm like, ah, I love it. And it would be so much fun. But I started watching anime really young. I started watching Sailor Moon when I was like 5. And again, these shows actually shaped a lot of like my likes. I do like The Magical Girl. I like romance. I like some fighting stuff because I did watch a lot of Dragon Ball Z as a kid. It's a lot of these shows that you watch and you fall in love with, and they help build your taste. And I was one of those like weird kids who watched a lot of anime in the early 2000s. Like, I watched Naruto and One Piece and Bleach, and that was what I talked about a lot as a kid. And people thought it was weird because it wasn't as popular as it is today. Like, conventions back when I went were not as crowded as like the last time I went. And when I first started, I was a teenager, and I can remember it being crowded, but not like can't move, can't breathe crowded. Now, like, I see people lined up outside the door around the corner of Artist Alley or to get a signing with certain voice actors. I'm like, damn. I remember it being like a line, but I didn't remember it that bad. Like, I stood in line and I met a few voice actors. It was never that bad. But I mean, I only went to like local ones that were around my area. I never had the funds to travel. I wish I could have traveled more and did conventions, because that would have been fun. You know, meet more nerdy people like me who like anime, because I only had like my few friends who liked it, and then there were people I met at the conventions around the town. Like, if you ever, the most fun part about it is when you're driving up and you're trying to find the venue, and we could not find the venue, and I look out and I saw a kid walking, and I was like, oh my god, it's Ichigo, follow him, he'll take us to the convention. So we ended up following a kid all the way to the hotel in a car. Mind you, we were following a kid with a bankotsu to a hotel. It was creepy. But it's stuff like that. You miss stuff like that. I miss, like, the dress up and all that fun stuff. I just, you can't, when you have a kid and a family, you can't do that as much as you used to. And I want to one day. Again, it'd be fun. But until then, I could just watch a bunch of people to be idiots at conventions for me. It's a bunch of Bulma cosplayers. I don't know why everybody still does that damn Bulma bunny or cosplay. I don't know. I dressed up like Lust, so I can't even talk. Everybody has their, like, slut mog days. Like, I'm gonna wear the skankiest cosplay I could think of. Hell yeah. And more power to them, because I can't do it anymore. I think those who do the sexy cosplays are really, really brave for putting themselves out there like that, so. I think that's it, though, for my first podcast. I will see you guys later. Bye.